nice young devotees come to these programs. We have like a core future of the Hare Krishna movement right here in this room, yourself included. So I thought to speak something that would be a little more entertaining than the other two topics that we spoke about for the young people. A lot of stories from Mahabharata. With pictures too. Stories with pictures. And last time I visited in Naperville, we spent some time discussing the life of Queen Kunti and then the first part of the prayers of Queen Kunti. So we're going to continue, but we're continuing a little bit further on, especially the part that has a lot of Mahabharata stories to it. The boys like Mahabharata stories. Do girls like Mahabharata stories too? We'll find out. Okay, so especially our youth, and especially for those who attended the first part of the life of Queen Kunti and the glories of Queen Kunti, I'd like to take 3 or 4, maybe even 5, just some glorifications about Queen Kunti. If you remember what the way that we began, Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us, by the way it is structured, that when before hearing from an exalted person, it's culture and it's also spiritually beneficial that you extend your appreciation from that person who you're going to hear from. So we're going to be hearing from Queen Kunti. So we want to hear from you some of your, something that you know about Queen Kunti and appreciate about Queen Kunti. So I'm looking at our stalwart youth here in the front. Can you say something about Queen Kunti? Go ahead. She's the mother of the Pandavas. Well, before we go on, what's special about being the mother of the Pandavas? What's special about the Pandavas? Yeah. They're eternal associates of Krishna. Wherever Krishna appears, in whatever the forms that he appears in, the Pandavas appear with him, especially Arjuna. It's okay. The Pandavas appear with him. So she's the mother. In one of Queen Kunti's prayers that we didn't discuss yet, Kunti is honoring Vasudeva. Okay, here's another question. Who's the father of Krishna? When Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, who was the father and mother? You already spoke. Over here.
Well, I know Kunti is Krishna's aunt.
And so how is that relationship set up? Who is Kunti's brother?
Vasudeva.
And Vasudeva is the father of Krishna, so that makes Krishna the nephew of Kunti. Fantastic. So we have two. Kunti is the mother of the Pandavas, and Kunti is the aunt of Krishna. What else can we say about Kunti? What's special about Kunti? She's what?
A mantra or something?
She got a mantra or something. Do you know that story? You heard it. Were you here for that first day? Durvasamuni. What can you remember about the mantra that she got from Durvasamuni? Can you remember? You can't remember so much. But she got a special mantra. She knows this story. Give her the microphone. Once upon a time,
Durvasamuni came to
The royal palace of whom?
Queen Kunti.
Kunti Bhoja. Kunti Bhoja was the king. Let's go back. Who was the father of Kunti? No. Shurasena. Shurasena is in the dynasty of the Yadus. He was a great king, Yadu king. Shurasena had multiple children, but a very dear friend of his named Kunti Bhoja was without children. So when Kunti was born, Shurasena entrusted his daughter to Kunti Bhoja to raise when she was just a little baby. What was Kunti's name from birth given by Shurasena? Starts with a P. O son of Pritha. Pritha. So Pritha was raised by King Kunti Bhoja, so she's also known as Kunti. So when Kunti was a young girl, teenage girl, what happened? Durvasa Muni?
Came to the palace, and then everyone was scared of him.
Look out, here comes Durvasa Muni! Whoa! But what did Kunti do?
He offered...
She just served him so nicely. And then?
And then he was pleased, so he blessed her.
And then what happened?
He was pleased with her.
He gave her a benediction.
Yeah.
He said, you pleased me very much by your nice service. I want to give something to you. And Durvasa Muni happened to know, because he had this capacity to know things before they happened. He could see into the future, and Kunti would have difficulty bearing children. So he gave her a mantra whereby she could call any demigod. Pretty amazing. Call any demigod, and with that any demigod, she could have children. There was a mantra. She got a mantra. It's a pretty interesting mantra. Yeah, I don't know the mantra either. I don't think, I'm happy with the Hare Krishna mantra, thank you. Okay, so that's, you know, she got a special mantra from Durvasa Muni. That's the third thing. What else can we say about Kunti? Someone, some of our adults, something that you can say in appreciation of Queen Kunti. Besides, she was the aunt of Krishna, what can we say about her relationship with Krishna? Someone's speaking, but I can't. Oh, yes?
Great devotee.
Great devotee. Let's say it a little stronger. Exalted, pure devotee of Krishna. She had deep and profound realization of Krishna on the strength of her devotion to Krishna. Truths about Krishna were revealed to her that even great philosophers, great scholars, great yogis, great rishis, they didn't have access to. Because the ascending process, she says in her prayers, in her own way, the ascending process can't enter into the mysteries of Krishna, but through bhakti, truths about Krishna can be known. Because she was such an exalted devotee, she understood intimately about Krishna. Amazing insights into the nature of Krishna. One more. Who can say something? Because we're going to hear from her. We want to have our hearts opened to that person who we're going to hear from. Yes. Yeah, this is the one. Go ahead.
Maharaj, she has gone through so many difficulties in spite of that she wants more because she wants to see Krishna again.
Yeah. Okay. outstandingly popular in Kunti's prayers is this prayer where she says, let the calamities come, vipada. Let the calamities come again and again. Why? Who wants calamities? Because when there's calamities for the devotee, Krishna comes to help the devotee, and then Kunti has the opportunity to see Krishna. So if the cost of seeing Krishna is a calamity or two or ten, no problem. Let the calamities come again and again. Because by the calamities coming, you come, we can see you. By seeing you, no more birth and death in this world. Very, very amazing prayer. So we're going to be discussing just two prayers of her so many prayers. And they're going to focus on how she understands she was protected. And maybe tomorrow night we'll speak on the three verses that follow that. So, feeling protected. So, if you... The tomorrow evening's verse will begin with, therefore... So the therefore is based on what she's saying tonight. So we'll begin... Can you see over there? You don't, you have to watch your children. Okay. Okay. We'll just read the translation. O Rishikesha, Master of the Senses and Lord of Lords, you have released your mother, Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. So Kunti was in danger, Devaki was in danger, Krishna, of course, he's the master of everything, so he sanctioned that they had some difficulties, but also Krishna released them from their difficulties. In the purport, Prabhupada writes about a series of constant dangers, which we're going to hear about in the next verse in detail. When Duryodhana tried to feed Bhima a poison cake, when Duryodhana tried to burn the Pandavas alive in a palace made of lac, when the brothers had to face man-eating rakshasas like Hidimba, when they were cheated by the Kauravas in gambling, and on numerous other occasions. So Kunti is appreciating that she had been protected by Krishna from a series of constant dangers. Here is Devaki and Vasudeva being released from the shackles of Kamsa, in the prison house of Kamsa, Krishna and Balaram, after finishing Kamsa and Chanur and Mushtaka and Kuvalyapita and all of the other fierce people who were sent their way. Krishna defeated them all and then came and he rescued Vasudeva and Devaki, released them from Kamsa's prison. Prabhupada writes, Kunti Devi was shown far more favor because Lord Krishna did not save the other children of Devaki, whereas he saved the children of Kunti Devi. This was done because Devaki's husband, Vasudeva, was living, whereas Kunti Devi was a widow, and there was none to help her except Krishna. The conclusion is that Krishna endows more favor to a devotee who is in greater dangers. Sometimes he puts his pure devotees in such dangers because in that condition of helplessness, the devotee comes more attached to the Lord. The more the attachment is there for the Lord, the more success is there for the devotee. This kind of runs as a theme, one of the multiple themes in Kunti's prayers. And it's very practical because we live in a place of danger. There's danger at every step. We don't know in the next moment what's going to happen. In the language of Prahlad Maharaj, Padam, Padam, Yad Vipadam, Nate Sham. Vipada means calamities, step by step, calamity. And it may not happen, but then it may happen. And sometimes there's good fortune, and sometimes there's ill fortune, and it's just the way this world is. Sometimes it's a place of duality. We can't change that. We bought a ticket. the house of horrors, and we wanted to have some fun. So there's duality here. Light and dark, summer and winter, cold and hot, wet and dry, up and down, night and day, happy, sad, good fortune, ill fortune. It's a place of duality. Just by design, it's like that. So, okay. Now, when those dangers come, according to Krishna's teaching in Bhagavad Gita, there's something that pious people do and something that impious people do. But the pious people, they take shelter of Krishna. They want relief from the difficulty, and so they go to Krishna for relief from the difficulty. But when they approach Krishna because of the difficulty, their attachment to Krishna strengthens. So sometimes Krishna arranges that deliberately, the difficulty. Here's a commentary by a great Acharya, Vishwanath. Kunti's asking, what was the reason? I was more afflicted with suffering by my karmas. I was suffering even more than Devaki. I was saved by you, my master. She had a husband, Vasudev, and thus had the possibility of having more children. And since you were the crest jewel of all children, what need was there for her, Devaki, her previous inferior children who were not saved? It's kind of like a rationalization about why it was that Krishna allowed Devaki's first children to be killed and not hers. Moreover, I was again and again saved from a host of dangers, where she was saved from one little danger caused by Kamsa. She had not even a trace of danger since. She was happy with repeated expectations that the Supreme Lord would be born from her womb, and after you were born, she had no danger at all. I was in all ways wretched. This is her humility. You were merciful to me because you are the friend of the most fallen. I was not like fortunate Devaki, who had prema for you. From the very first of Kunti's prayers, and consistent throughout, she doesn't just start humble, but she's humiliatingly humble, embarrassingly humble. And when a devotee is genuinely, not pretentiously, but genuinely very humble, it's very powerful. Very powerful. So this is Devaki by the side of the Ganga, meditating upon dear Lord Krishna, her dear most friend. So here's the next verse. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poison cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought, and now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashvatthama. Now the painting that's on the right hand side is depiction of, in the back there is Vyasadeva, in the front is the wife of Vyasadeva, and Krishna has come all the way from Dwarka by the invitation of Vyasadeva, to have Krishna come and promise to Maharaj Parikshit, to Shukadeva Goswami, to Shukadeva Goswami, that when you leave the womb of your mother, you will not fall prey to Maya. And on that promise of Krishna, he left the womb of his pretty uncomfortable mother, 16 years. And when he came out, he was of full stature, so poor mother. So Krishna gives protection even in this case to Shukadeva, and in the verse he gave protection to Queen Kunti. So the words in the verse describe the different dangers that Krishna protected them from. First mentioned is Vishat, or the poisoned cake. So this is a Mahabharata story about the poisoned cake. Pandu, when he was appointed king, or anointed king, or inaugurated king, he was made king of the whole world. And he had two wives, Kunti, and what was the name of the other wife? Starts with an M. Can't remember. Madri. Oh yeah, Madri. And a lot of things happened. We're not going to retell all of that. But Pandu died when he was in the forest. And five sons had been born. The eldest of those five sons was Yudhisthira. The next son was, starts with a B. Bhima, right. The third one was?
The third one was Arjuna.
And then the last two, Nakula and Sahadev. So Yudhisthira, then next was Bhima, then Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadev. That's the five brothers. So there's Kunti in a forest with five powerful young sons and no husband because Pandu died. So Kunti consulted the sages who were residing in the forest what to do. They said immediately go back to the royal palace and take shelter there. So a big assembly of sages accompanied them back to Hastinapur. And when they came to Hastinapur, there was a big festival because when they came back, everyone was very happy. Almost everyone was very happy. Except for one person, primarily. Duryodhana. Because these were young boys. They, you know, boys like to play. So they would play wrestling and different games, and Bhima was so powerful. When they would wrestle, he would take the boys and toss them in the air and just go, and everyone would laugh except Duryodhana, and he couldn't take it. He was so envious. And he was burning inside, and so a plan was made to kill Bhima. Later it became all the Pandavas, but it started with Bhima. So the plan was, they'd go have a summer picnic. Mahabharata describes the place where they would go was by the side of the river Ganges. And there was a big palace, marble and ivory palace, seven stories tall, gorgeous and opulent and, you know, really a wow place. And place where they could have games. So the boys would play games, wrestling and everything all day long. And then in the late afternoon, they would plan was have a big picnic. Royal picnic. Duryodhana especially prepared the plate for Bhima. And the plate for Bhima, he put enough poison to kill 10 men, personally. Extra poison. And fed his dear cousin Bhima. Bhima ate everything and didn't show any sign of anything, except he was a little tired. So when it was coming towards the evening, it was time for the boys to go back to the palace. Bhima said, just let me take some rest here by the side of the river and then I'll come and join you. So they left. And Bhima's lying by the side of the river. And then Duryodhana came and Dushasana came. And they tied him up in strong ropes so he couldn't even move, and then rolled him into the Ganges River. Murder. But as you may know, the Ganges starts way, way, way up in Gangotri and flows down, 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 all the way down into the lower regions of the bottom of the universe. So the current of the Ganges carried Bhima down, down, down to the bottom regions of the universe where the Nagas are. The Nagas are those guys, those snakes. And when they saw this meal, they just started biting Bhima. And they didn't know, but the poison in their fangs was the exact antidote to counteract the poison that had been fed by Duryodhana. So he came to external consciousness, and he's being bitten by all these snakes. So he just expanded his body, and the ropes broke. He had this big battle with all the Nagas, and the Nagas went back to Vasuki and Arka, the chief of the Nagas, and said, "Help! There's this powerful person. We've never seen anybody that's so powerful like this. Help!" So they came, and the Mahabharata describes that Arka happened to be, in a previous lifetime, a member of the Yadu dynasty, and he recognized Bhima. And he said, "Bhima, what are you doing here? How nice to see you. We're dear friends. Please be calm. In fact, we want to honor you. Let us have some special gift for Bhima." So it was arranged that they have some Naga nectar in big pots. And each of the pots, when you drink from that Naga pot of nectar, it makes your body as strong as 10,000 elephants. Bhima drank 8 of them. They had never seen anything like that before. Because Bhima has another name. What's the other name of Bhima? Starts with a V. V. Bhima's other name starts with a V. Rikodar. What does Rikodar mean? He has a big appetite. Big appetite. You'll hear some more about his big appetite as we go along. He was already powerful. Now he became powerful as 80,000 elephants. Very powerful. And he felt a little tired. So he took another nap. And when he woke up, Arka and Vasuki, they shared with him everything that had happened. The plan, the murder plan of Duryodhana, the whole thing, because they had the capacity of knowing things at a distant place. They also told him that your mother is very worried. Kunti, his word is like Kunti. Kunti's very worried. You haven't been back for 8 days. Parents, if your child is gone from the home for 8 days, how are you going to feel? A little worried. When the boys came back and Bhima wasn't there, this is the first day, Kunti was in anxiety. So what did Kunti do? She went to Vidura. Because Vidura was the brother of her husband, Pandu. And amongst the Pandavas, he was considered very wise. So she consulted the wisdom of Vidura. What to do, what to do? Bhima's gone. Vidura just said two things, and she was peaceful again. She said, Vyasadev declared, when these children were born, that they will live a long life, and they will rule the kingdom for many years. It's not possible for Vyasa to say something that's not true. So everything will be all right. Shanti. And so she became peaceful. This is Kunti. Just hearing the words of a wise person. How many times have we been in distress and we hear some wise words and nothing happens? This is Kunti. She had trust in Krishna. She had trust in Vyasadeva. And she had trust in Vidura, a great devotee of Krishna. So 8 days later, here comes Bhima back into the assembly. And, you know, yay, Bhima. So then Bhima told them everything that happened, including what the Nagas told him, what Duryodhana had planned to do. Bhima grabbed his club, said, Yudhisthira, give me the word. I'll smash that Duryodhana to pieces. And he could do it. And what did Yudhisthira say? He's the wise elder brother. The wise elder brother said, now is not the right time. We've been in the forest for so many years. Dhritarashtra and his sons, headed by Duryodhana, have been here in the royal palace. They have all the friendships, alliance. If there's some combat, this isn't the right time for that to happen. Let us just be very careful. And at the right time, we'll take action. So Bhima and Arjuna were held in check. But so Kunti's appreciating that it was Krishna that made this arrangement to give protection from the poisoned cake fed to Bhima. Next, he mentions Maha Agne. Agni, the meaning of Agni is fire. So Maha Agni, the big fire, great fire. Krishna protected them from a great fire. There was a situation after the poison cake didn't work. They came up with plan number two. That was not just kill Bhima, but kill all the Pandavas. A conspiracy had been made without all the details of building a special house made with highly inflammable material, soaked in shellac or lac, so it could burn at once. After the house was constructed, send to the Pandavas there in the dead of night, ignite the house, and it all burn in a fire. Dhritarashtra didn't like the idea at all. But Duryodhana got him to the point where he wouldn't say no. He just remained silent. He said, because if you don't agree to this, I'll give up my life. I can't live with these brothers, cousins. So you don't have to do anything. Just don't interfere with the plan. So he remained silent. So the plan went forward. The plan was, oh, Pandavas, you're back in the royal city, it's summertime, why don't you take a nice 1 month vacation at this nice summer home, it's really spectacular, in a touristy area, and there's a special festival, and that special festival, you can have a nice time, then you can come back to the royal palace. Yudhisthira didn't trust him. But he didn't want to say no. So they agreed cautiously. As they're leaving to go to the summer home, Vidura comes up in a disguise and says something very enigmatic, puzzling, like kind of like a riddle. And his riddle went something like this. This isn't exact, but something like this. One who may be killed by a weapon will be protected, something like, you know, if something that he mentioned the word fire and then mentioned the word tunnel. That if one can be freed from fire by a tunnel, then one will be protected. It wasn't even so direct as that. It was more indirect. And they left. And so Kunti asked her son, Yudhishthira, what did he say? I couldn't understand what he said. He said, he's just warning us, there's a plan to murder us by way of fire. And the way that we'll be protected from the murder by fire is through a tunnel. Vidura will help us, I'm sure. So, sure enough, they got to the summer place. Vidura sent a man who is expert at building tunnels. A tunnel builder. That's a nice profession. And so, right in the middle of the summer home, the tunnel began and went down, 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 and underground over to the river. So they had the escape tunnel. Then the signal came from Vidura that this evening, the night of this big festival, that's when they plan to set the house on fire. So now have your escape route. Go ahead. So they escape. The Bhima set the fire. And meanwhile, the Pandavas went down, down, down the tunnel route across. And on the other side, where the tunnel met the river, who was there? Vidura, with a boat to carry him on the other side of the river. So there's Vidura to carry them on the other side of the river. And there's the Pandavas and Kunti. And there's Bhima, who is putting the Pandavas on his shoulders and carrying them to their destination. When they got to their destination, they took rest because it's at night. And they were all tired, so they took rest, and Bhima was guarding them. And while he was guarding them, in a distance, Hidimba, Rakshasa, smelled something delicious. An evening meal. Six bodies. So he sent his sister, Hidimbi, to go check out the scene. So Hidimbi transformed herself into a beautiful woman who became very enchanted with the powerful Bhima, and she started saying lusty things to Bhima. And Bhima was, no thanks. And Hidimba was watching from behind the scene, and he was enraged. What is my sister doing? And so he charged out and started this big battle with Bhima. Guess who won? Bhima won. And after Hidimba was killed, then another thing happened. Hidimbi, still in this beautiful form, came before Kunti and made a marriage proposal. I want to marry your son. And I can do this for you and that for you and the other thing for you and woo, 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 I like your son. And Yudhishthira described to her the duties of a wife and so forth and so on. And she agreed to everything. So they were married. They spent some time living in the forest, Rakshasi and Bhima, husband and wife. And a son was born. His name starts with a G. Yeah. So he later became a very important person in the Kurukshetra battle, the son of Hidimbi and Bhima. Then is mentioned the Asat Sabhaya. We know what Sat is. Sat and Asat. Eternal and non-eternal or temporary. So in this case, Asat means vicious, and Sabha is assembly. The vicious assembly. There's this very famous scene where Krishna is providing unlimited sari for Draupadi, who who Dushasana down here was trying to disrobe her after the Pandavas pictured here had lost their entire kingdom, all their weapons, and now they had also lost Draupadi in this gambling match. So Krishna came and protected Draupadi in the vicious assembly. So Kunti is appreciating Krishna protected, particularly Draupadi in the vicious assembly. Another nice painting of the same Pandavas there on the right. Dhritarashtra there on the left. And Krishna protecting Draupadi. Vana, Vasa, Krishkrita. Vana, Vana means Vrindavana. Vana means forest. And Vana Vasa, residence of the forest. Krishkrita, sufferings during our exile in the forest. So while they were in the forest for so many years, there's Draupadi in the back, there's the five brothers, and Domya, their priest, was accompanying them as they entered into the forest. Great hardship they underwent again and again and again, and so many things happened, but Krishna was there to give them protection. Maha, Maha, Rata, Astrata. Astra means weapons. And Maha, Rata is the great battle where great generals fought. Maha, Rata. The generals were sometimes called Maha, Rata, the warriors that could defeat 1,000 or 10,000 other kings or soldiers. There is Grandfather Bhishma. Here's his little tiny chariot driver. Looks like a midget. There's Krishna and Arjuna and so many other soldiers on the battlefield. So let's just go through a little bit the battlefield. It was how many days? 18 days. So on the very first day, the Pandavas came before the chariot of Grandfather Bhishma asking for the blessings of Grandfather Bhishma that they may be engaged in this activity that he's on the other side. But as the battle was going on and on and on and on, Duryodhana was getting frustrated. He told Bhishma, "You're the chief general, but you're partial to the Pandavas. And you have to do your duty. Bhishma, you have to do your duty. You have to help us become victorious." So Bhishma said, "All right. You know I'm a person that never breaks his vow. So I'll take a vow right now. Here's 5 arrows. I'm entrusting these 5 arrows to you. Tomorrow morning when you come to greet me, as you do every morning, and pay your respects, bring these 5 arrows, and tomorrow, with these 5 arrows, I'm going to destroy the 5 Pandavas. Duryodhana was in ecstasy. Bhishma is finally going to do it. He has the power to do it all along. He's just been partial to the Pandavas. But now he's taken a vow, and he never breaks his vow. But he was very happy. But Krishna is omniscient, and he's very clever. With his omniscience, he knew about the 5 arrows. And he's very clever, so he approached Arjuna and said, "Arjuna, Arjuna, yes? Do you remember long ago when Duryodhana was in great difficulty and you rescued him, you saved his life? He was very proud and some Gandharvas came and they were going to destroy him and you protected him. And Duryodhana was so grateful He said, I'll give you whatever you want. You just ask for anything and I'll give you whatever you want. Remember that, Arjuna? And you said, well, I don't need anything. Maybe sometime later I'll ask. Remember all of that? So now is the time to ask. Go to Duryodhana's tent and ask Duryodhana for those 5 arrows. He'll know what you mean. Just ask him for the 5 arrows and bring them to me. So Arjuna went to Duryodhana's tent and said, do you remember this incident long ago? Oh, yes, yes. So you said you would give me whatever I want. If you'd like the kingdom, I'll give you the kingdom. I'll keep my vow. He said, no, I don't want the kingdom. But I do want those 5 arrows. Can you give me those 5 arrows? You know, the ones that Bhishma gave you this evening. I'd like those 5 arrows, please. So Duryodhana gave the 5 arrows. Then the next morning when Duryodhana went to pay his respects to Grandfather Bhishma, Bhishma asked for the 5 arrows. He said, well, I don't have the 5 arrows. What? Yes, Arjuna came last night and asked me for those 5 arrows. Bhishma said, this is Krishna. I, who have never broken my vow, am now in a position where I'm breaking my vow because of Krishna's cleverness. Then I will make another vow. By the end of today, either Krishna will break his promise or I will kill Arjuna. So, big battle between Grandfather Bhishma and Arjuna. Krishna's in the front taking the arrows from Grandfather Bhishma and enjoying the arrows of Grandfather Bhishma piercing his chest. Arjuna felt terrible. My dear Lord Krishna's taking Bhishma's arrows. And towards the end of the day, Arjuna hadn't been defeated, but his chariot broke, so he was down trying to fix the chariot, and Bhishma is ready to kill him. So Krishna picked up the broken chariot wheel and charged at Grandfather Bhishma like Sudarshan Chakra over his head, ready to smash Bhishma. Bhishma was in ecstasy. He dropped his weapons, saying, Krishna broke his promise. Because he knew Krishna would break his promise. Because for Krishna, one thing is a promise, and above all other things is protecting his devotee. If it means breaking his promise to protect his devotee, he puts protecting his devotee higher. With the rules of dharma, there's always some kind of dharma that supersedes another dharma, supersedes that dharma, supersedes that dharma. And we know what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita about what supersedes all other dharma. Sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami ma suchaha. Very famous. When Grandfather Bhishma was dying on the bed of arrows and the sun started moving in the northerly direction after Makara Sankranti, he then withdrew his senses and fixed his mind upon Krishna, who was right before him with his eyes wide open, and in his mind appeared this scene. He describes it. It's very beautiful. Canto 1, Chapter 9. He's described seeing Krishna charging him with his right arm raised, with his body covered with dust, ashen colored from the dust raised by the hooves of the chariot horses, beads of perspiration streaming down his face, his upper garment streaming behind him in the wind, he was running so fast, Arjuna holding him around the waist, stopping Krishna from smashing Bhishma. That's the feature of Krishna that Bhishma loved the most. Because it showed Krishna holds protecting his devotee more than anything else. that evening, he's surrendering his weapons. That very evening, the Pandavas went to Bhishma's tent and said, "We can't defeat you. It's impossible to defeat you, as far as we know. But you must know, is there some way we can defeat you?" So yes, you should have asked me some time ago. I'll be glad to tell you. And he gave this long description of how he could be defeated. And it had to do with, down in the right-hand side of the picture, there's Bhishma, who had gone to the king of Kashi, who was having the Swayamvar ceremony for his daughters, the princesses of the king Kashi. And grandfather Bhishma kidnapped them all. Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. And this long story of how Amba had already given her heart to another king whose name starts with an S. Anybody know? Shalva. So when they got back after Bhishma defeated all the other princes, including Shalva, they got back to Hastinapur. Amba, in confidence, told Bhishma, "I can't marry your brother." One of the sons of Shantanu and Satyavati. So I've given my heart to someone else. She said, "Okay, no problem. You can go back, and your other two sisters can marry." So she went back, but Shalva said, "No, you've been touched by another man, so I can't marry you." So she went back to Bhishma and said, "He said he can't marry me." He said, "Well, you can go back to your father." She said, "I can't go back to my father." And so she started so many things happened. And finally, with half a body, she got a benediction from Lord Shiva that she would die, and in her next birth she would take birth as a woman, but then be transformed to a man, and in that body of a man, Shikhandi, she became a he, would then defeat Bhishma. Very complicated. So immediately she entered into a fire, gave up her body, took birth as a girl. Then as she grew up, the girl was married to a girl, thinking it was a man, and the king of the girl that got married to a girl that wasn't a man was ready to declare war on the king. So she went to the forest and got a benediction that she could become a man. Very complicated. And then Shikhandi was fighting on the side of the Pandavas. So grandfather Bhishma said, "All you have to do is put Shikhandi," so over here is Shikhandi, and over here is Arjuna, and there's Krishna with the halo, and there's grandfather Bhishma. And if Shikhandi is at the front, I'm not going to fight against a woman. Although now she's in the body of a he, she was born as a she, so I'm not going to fight. Just put him in the front, and I can be killed, no problem. Long story. Really long section of the Mahabharata. And so it happened like that. It put Shikhandi in the front, and Bhishma was pierced with so many arrows that was day 10. Then later comes the story of Jayadrath. You like Jayadrath? Okay. He likes the story. Okay. So, how many sons did Dhritarashtra have? 100 sons. And he had one daughter and 100 sons. And the one daughter's name was Dushala. So Dushala became married to Jayadrath. And on his marriage day, this lusty man, riding in his marriage chariot, saw Draupadi at a distance. And he practically fell out of the chariot, seeing the beauty and charm of Draupadi. So he couldn't get Draupadi off his mind. Later on, another occasion, he saw Draupadi, he approached Draupadi, tried to abduct her, Draupadi. Draupadi was not a wimp. She punched him in the jaw, knocked him to the ground, bloodied his mouth, and with his bloodied mouth, he tied her up to his chariot, drove off with his chariot. She called out loudly for Bhima. Bhima caught up, was ready to smash Jayadrath to pieces. Fortunately for Jayadrath, Yudhishthir checked him. Because he's like, you know, married to another cousin, so, you know, don't kill him. Instead, a plan was made to humiliate him, because one who was once honored, dishonor is worse than death, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, right? So they cut off most of his hair except a few patches of hair here and there. And they were all laughing and laughing and laughing and saying, you're now the slave of King Yudhishthir. Jayadrath was in a get-back mentality. So he went into the Himalayas. And for a long time, he underwent severe austerities, worshipping Lord Shiva to get a benediction from Lord Shiva so he can get back. Get-back mentality never is successful. Lord Shiva appeared. Now he's got a little more hair. And Lord Shiva gave two boons to Jayadrath. Listen carefully. Boon number one. Nobody can defeat you. You can defeat everybody, all the Pandavas, except Arjuna. And anyone who made Jayadrath's head fall on the ground would have his own head broken into 7 pieces. So Jayadrath is feeling, wow, I got this benediction from Lord Shiva. And then the battle of Kurukshetra was going on, and during the battle of Kurukshetra, on the battlefield was Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu was the son of Arjuna and, starts with an S, Subhadra. Who was Subhadra? The sister of Krishna and Balaram. So Arjuna had married Subhadra, and there was a son named Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu ended up marrying Uttara. And how that happened was, during the last year of the exile of the Pandavas, during their time in the forest, there was 1 year of incognito, and so they took shelter of the king Virat, and each of them took up some disguised activity. And the disguised activity on the left, that's Arjuna. Looks a little different than Arjuna normally looks, because he dressed like a woman. And he was the dance teacher for the daughter of the king. That's Uttara over on the right side, dancing. And Arjuna is the dance teacher. So towards the end of this whole situation, well, that's a long story that goes in there. Long story. Look, a quick version of the long story. Towards the end of the period of time that the Pandavas were in this incognito position, there was the general of King Virat's army was another lusty fellow. And seeing the beauty of Draupadi, he wanted to have Draupadi's hand. he tried this, he tried that, he insulted her, basically the same thing as Dushyasana did right in the royal assembly, grabbed her, and Bhima's in the assembly, he saw, Yudhisthira's in the assembly, they saw, Draupadi was so disturbed. She went to Bhima afterwards and said, do something, protect me. And then the plan was made with Bhima. Let this general know that you'll meet him in the dead of night. Instead of meeting you, he'll meet me. I'll take care of him. That happened. Bhima pulverized him. Made him into a little box. His bones were broken, like, you know. And when this news spread over to the Kuru dynasty, they understood only one person. This king was so powerful. There's only one person that could have defeated him like that. Bhima. Let's go. So they brought their whole army, and to get the Pandavas to come out from their hidden position, they had a plan. They started stealing the cows of the king. So the cow herds came to the king saying, protect us. And the king's son said, I'll do it. I just need a good chariot driver. Draupadi said, this dance teacher, he's a good chariot driver. He said, no, I don't want a sissy. I want a chariot driver. And she said, you don't know what this man can do. He was a chariot driver in a previous time, and he's really good. He'll be your chariot driver. So they went out into the battlefield, and the prince, the son of the king, got defeated very quickly. Arjuna took the chariot to where their weapons were at the top of a shami tree, took the weapons down, and had the prince become the chariot driver, and he single-handedly defeated all the Kauravas. The entire Kaurava army single-handedly Arjuna defeated. When they came back, the king said, you're not a dance teacher. Who are you? I think you're Arjuna. This big one over there, that's Bhima, and this other one over there, that's Yudhisthira. He said, yes. So the king said, I'd like to reciprocate, I'd like to give you my daughter in marriage. And Arjuna said, well, a teacher can't marry a student. That's against Vedic culture. But I have a son. He's of marriageable age, suitable for your daughter. And so, why don't we have Abhimanyu and Uttara marry? So that marriage took place, and when the Kurukshetra battle was going on, Abhimanyu was a super, super powerful warrior, day 13 out of 18. And it's already 25 minutes before 9. I'll try to finish. Battlefield. He was fighting so heroically that the other side decided, let's gang up on him. We have to stop him. 7 generals attacked at once. By the way, that's against the codes of Dharma for Kshatriyas, but they did it anyways. He was so, so powerful. And they surrounded him in this military arrangement of a circle so he couldn't escape. And they fought so fiercely, he ended up same, just picking up a chariot wheel and fighting them with the chariot wheel. And they're sticking him with their spears and shooting him with their arrows. They cut off his arms and he's still fighting. And over there, this is Jayadrath, who had this benediction from Lord Shiva that he could defeat all of the Pandavas. There's, guess who was with the club over here? Bhima. So, he's holding off the Pandavas while they're destroying Abhimanyu. And when Abhimanyu was killed, Arjuna took a vow. The end of day 13. By the end of day 14, I will kill Abhimanyu, or I will personally enter into fire and take my own life. When the Kauravas heard this, they were jubilant. We don't have to kill Arjuna. We just have to protect Jayadrath. And Arjuna will kill himself. So they had a big festival. And Krishna asked Arjuna, why did you take such a terrible vow? He said, because if I'm in difficulty, you'll protect me. And sure enough, he did. So the next day, day 14, there's the army on one side, there's the army on the other side, and the army on the other side have one business, protect Jayadrath, so that Arjuna will be killed to take his own life. A big, big, fierce battle, thousands and thousands of soldiers, Arjuna firing hundreds of arrows. So what did the Pandavas do, the Kauravas do? They sent Dronacharya, the teacher of military skill who learned everything directly from Parshuram, to face off in combat against Arjuna. So for some time a little battle took place between Arjuna and Drona, but Arjuna understood this is not worth it. I have to get Jayadrath. So the chariot, Krishna drove the chariot around Dronacharya. Hey, where are you going? Krishna's smiling. And they're heading for Jayadrath. And as they're heading for Jayadrath, Duryodhana tried to challenge Krishna and Arjuna. There we see some arrows intersecting, etc., etc. And Arjuna, his expert archer, he fired arrows into the hand of Duryodhana. So he couldn't use his weapons anymore and kept going, heading for Jayadrath. Very, very intense battle scene. All boys like these battle scenes like anything. And as Arjuna approached Jayadrath, the huge surrounding army, thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers were being killed by Arjuna's arrows, and Bhima with his big club smashed his way through the soldiers to get Arjuna closer to Jayadrath. And Arjuna, with a very special arrow gifted to him by Lord Brahma, severed the head of Jayadrath, and the head of Jayadrath went soaring through the air, landed on the lap of his father, who was engaged in meditation some distance away, and with his severed head of his son landed in his lap, he was shocked, and he pushed the head off his lap onto the ground. Benediction number two. Jayadrath's father's head cracked into seven pieces immediately. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be extraordinary power, opulence, morality, and victory. That was day 14. We're almost done, but we're not done yet. Here's day 15. Dronacharya is then put in place of the Kaurava army because Grandfather Bhishma is indisposed, lying on his bed of arrows. And so Dronacharya, great, great hero, great soldier, great military expert, is in charge of the Kaurava army and practically indefeatable. Question. There was prior to the battle, so going back many years, there was a dispute between Drona and a king. What was the king's name? Drupada. So Drupada was defeated by Drona. You said it right. Drona trained the Pandavas and the Kauravas, and then he gave them a Guru Dakshin assignment to go defeat the king, Drupada. So who did that? Arjuna. And because Drona was defeated, his entire kingdom then belonged to Drona. So Drona said, I'll give you back half the kingdom. That was the deal that they had when they were going to school together. I'll give you back half the kingdom, it's yours. Drona was then in a get back mentality. He was defeated by Arjuna via Dronacharya. So what did he do? Drupad?
He did a sacrifice of a goddess Drishtadyumna, and then
Drishtadyumna.
He was supposed to kill.
Drishtadyumna came out of the fire, and who else came out of the fire? He had a sister. Drishtadyumna had a sister whose name was
Draupadi.
She also was like a bonus, came out of the fire. Although Drupad, very interesting, Drupad wanted to get back at Drona. Drupad, the king, wanted to get back at Drona. Therefore, Drishtadyumna was the son born for that purpose. The one that defeated him was Arjuna. And he wanted Arjuna to marry his daughter, Draupadi. And it happened. So Draupadi became the wife of Arjuna and the other Pandavas. And Drishtadyumna is the one who is supposed to kill Drona. So what happened was, Bhima, there with his club raised, he had killed one of the elephants, whose name was Ashvatthama. So Bhima called out in a loud voice, Ashvatthama is dead. Drona heard this. So Drona wanted to know, is this my son, Ashvatthama, is dead? So he went to the person he would know would never lie, Yudhisthira, and said, is it true? I heard this voice. Is it my son, Ashvatthama, who is dead? Then what happened? What happened? Krishna said, Yudhisthira, say yes, Ashvatthama is dead. And Yudhisthira said, well, I can't tell a lie. And then there's different versions of Mahabharata, but he then said, Ashvatthama,
the elephant,
is dead. And when Drona heard that Ashvatthama, not hearing the elephant part, is dead, he put down his weapons. He was so disheartened that his son, Ashvatthama, was dead, although his son Ashvatthama wasn't dead, it was the elephant. And in that condition, with his weapons down, Drishtadyumna came, commander-in-chief of the Pandava army, and he severed the head of Dronacharya. So Dronacharya is now dead. Day 17, Karna is killed. Karna, one of the brothers of the Pandavas, but didn't know that he was a brother of the Pandavas, that's a long story, was very envious. What's he say? That's Arjuna on the right, with a very special aerial. It's right next to him, the chariot driver is Krishna. And over there on the left, who's that? Karna. Karna, because on this is day 17. After 17 days of thousands of soldiers, hundreds of thousands of soldiers being killed, the field was all muddy with blood. And so his chariot wheel got stuck in that muddy soil. So he got down from his chariot to take his chariot wheel out, and Krishna told Arjuna, fire a special arrow and kill Karna. And Karna objected, saying, what kind of dharma is this? You're telling your devotee, Arjuna, to kill me when I'm out of my chariot, fixing my chariot wheel? Krishna replied, when it suits you, you adamantly oppose an unjust act against yourself or against your friends, but you do not speak up against injustice of others. Where was your sense of justice when the Pandavas were cheated out of their kingdom? Or when Draupadi was dragged into the assembly by her hair? Or when six warriors surrounded Abhimanyu and cut him down? No, my friend, you will be treated the way you have allowed others to be treated. A dharmic principle. Just punishment goes to those who remain silent. One of the things that Prabhupada writes in his Bhagavatam purport is, Bhishma met with the end that he met for one reason. There's other reasons, but one of the reasons is he did not protest when Draupadi was being insulted that way. So Prabhupada writes, any man that does not protect women, all of their virtue is taken and they're subject to sinful reaction. The importance of protection of women is so important in Vedic culture. So because of this violation, similarly, Karna met with his death. A very special Anjalika weapon was fired by Arjuna at Krishna's direction to do so, and Karna was slain. And when Karna was slain, this is day 17, Duryodhana considered, it's spoken of in Mahabharata, he had more affection for Karna than he did for his 99 brothers. As close as he was to some of them, he was so dear to Karna, and Karna so dear to him, he was terribly discouraged. So the final day, the big battle between Bhima and Duryodhana, using clubs, and there's the Pandavas in the background. If you notice in the middle, there's Balaram, he's got a plow. He happened to be there and was watching, because he was there, he was absent before that. There's Krishna next to him with the effulgence. And Krishna indicated how he can be killed or destroyed by, he tapped his thigh, and that's where Bhima struck him. And there's a long story behind that also. But it's late, so we're not going to go into another long story. And then finally she mentioned specifically that after all of this, Krishna personally protected the son of Abhimanyu and Uttara, that's the Maharaj Parikshit, while within the womb of Uttara, from the Brahmastra, that's the Brahmastra on the right hand side, giving all this fire. But Krishna personally protected him. Rake Krishna Mari Ke, Mari Krishna Rake Ke. He whom Krishna protects, no one can kill. But if Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can give him protection. So the summary is, many misfortunes befell the Pandavas, but in all circumstances they simply depended on Krishna. And although it looked pretty difficult at some points in time, Krishna was always there to protect them. And Kunti is appreciating, Krishna, you are always there to protect us. Danger, but you're always there to protect us. She was certain of it. Last little slide here. This is an illustration of Duryodhana. Notice his tilak is not Vaishnav tilak. And Krishna is letting them know, this is Arjuna, saying, I'm cousins of both of you, I won't fight, but one can have all my armies and the other can have me. So Duryodhana sat by the head of Krishna and said, I'll take your armies, please. I'll choose first. And Arjuna stood by Krishna's feet and said, I'll take you. That's just fine with me. So although the calculating Duryodhana had the armies of Krishna, the devotee Arjuna had Krishna. So the odds were against the Pandavas, except for the fact that Krishna was on their side. And of course they were victorious because Krishna was on their side. And one who takes that shelter of Krishna, whatever your assets may be or may not be, your good fortune or ill fortune may be, may not be, take shelter of Krishna and be certain of Krishna's protection. This is an essential consciousness of Krishna's devotee. The end. So that's two of Kunti's wonderful prayers to Lord Krishna. And tomorrow we'll continue where we left off this evening. She's going to say, therefore, all of these ways in which you miraculously gave us protection tells us certain lessons of life. Okay, so any comments or questions? You're stretching or you have a question? Okay. Yes. You couldn't see all these nice pictures from over there. Okay.
Maharaj, I have one question. Partly you have said, but just I want to expand on that.
What's that?
I have one question about...
About what?
Bhishma Dev.
Bhishma, okay.
So all along we treat him as a great reverend person. He knows Dharma.
Yes.
But right from the beginning, at every occasion, just for the sake of his own vow, he could not protect the Pandavas, even in the case of Draupadi. So how do we consider a person who is so knowingly Dharma, but he could not even, just for the sake of his own vow, he could not take the side of Dharma?
You have about three things mixed up in one thing. First of all, protecting Draupadi had nothing to do with his vow. Okay, let's separate protecting Draupadi from his vow. Let's do that first. Decouple that one. He took that position for two reasons, an internal and an external reason. The external reason, I already stated, Prabhupada said, Krishna wanted to show, whoever you may be, even Grandfather Bhishma, if you don't give protection to women, you'll be destroyed. Krishna wanted to show that, and he used Grandfather Bhishma to show that. He remained silent when he should have not remained silent. That was his lack of protection, and he was destroyed. Krishna wanted to show that. Now, the other part of why he took the side of the Kauravas, the external was a dharmic principle, but there was a deeper principle. The dharmic principle was he was being maintained by the Kauravas. So he's now obliged to fight on behalf of the Kauravas. In the case of Vidura, when Vidura was insulted by Duryodhana, it's described that when he left that assembly, he took with him, although he was born as a Shudra, he had military skill. He took his bow and arrows and placed them by the door and left, signifying, now I don't have to make this decision that Grandfather Bhishma made. Standing by the principle of Dharma, those who have given me shelter, I must be on their side. So Grandfather Bhishma put that principle above. Of course, he could have put other principles above that principle. But he didn't for another reason. And that is the reason of chivalry. It's deep and very interesting. The principal relationship between Grandfather Bhishma and Krishna was what? Which of the five rasas? Dasya. He saw Krishna as his master and lord. Pure Dasya. So how can a person who has Dasya fight against the Pandavas and take vows against the Pandavas and all that stuff and fight against Krishna's dear devotee? There's one reason. Rasa. The rasa of chivalry was that although he was Krishna's dear devotee, he took the position of opposing Krishna, which Krishna enjoyed very much. It was for Krishna's pleasure on a deeper level, on the level of rasa. Now Krishna was very pleased. And Bhishma was giving that happiness to Krishna in the mood of chivalry against the Pandavas, which meant against Krishna. But he gave the whole indication to the Pandavas how to destroy him, etc. Those vows that he took, etc. Because it's dasya, that's the primary rasa, sometimes eclipsed by a secondary rasa. But always the primary rasa is there intact. That's deep. Not usual. We certainly don't want to imitate such personalities. Anything else? How are you boys doing? It was okay to hear some the Mahabharata stories? Or just to engage with your sunglasses over here? Okay. So to be continued tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Should we have kirtan? Should we have kirtan or just take prasadam and go? What does our host say? Uma, you sing for a bit? Yeah. There's our audience. Where's our kirtan book?